Back into session for public hearings. It's now 1:30. Mr. Moore.
We need a motion to come back in from recess.
So moved.
You had recessed to.
Okay. Motion second.
Second.
Any question on the motion? We'll take a vote. Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried. Now then, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. When County Council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend a comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits that were introduced at the planning zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take time now to turn it off or switch it to silent mode. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council must do likewise. Mr. Lank, for a first hearing, please.
Yes, first application is for conditional use number 1986. It's the application of Timothy S. Miller to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a mulch storage, processing, and sales, and also a boat and RV storage. To be located on a certain parcel land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, a parcel containing 1.729 acres, more or less, lying east of Road 365, also known as Pepper's Corner Road, 1,327 feet south of Road 368, also known as Beaver Dam Road. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on July 14th of 2011. On July 14th of 2011, the commission was actually holding a rehearing for a public hearing held on May 26th of 2011 based on a error in the posting of the property. So basically the record from the May 26th meeting was made a part of the record, and it is included on approximately 2.5 pages of the council's report, and it's indented for your reference. Then the intent of the commission was to hear any additional comments from the applicant or anyone in support or in opposition, and they are in the standard format. So in the process of the public hearings, we heard comments from Department of Transportation, Sussex Conservation District, County Engineering Department, and the applicant, and his representatives gave testimony, and we also heard comments from parties in opposition. On July 14th of 2011, there was a commission deferred action on this application for further consideration. On July 28th of 2011, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend partial approval of conditional use 1896 for Timothy Miller for mulching operations based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the use as a mulch facility will benefit the citizens and the environment of Sussex County. By recycling tree trimmings and other tree materials, there will be a reduction of material ultimately going to the landfills. Two, the use with the conditions and limitations placed upon it will not adversely affect the neighboring properties or community. Three, the use promotes the conservation element of the county's comprehensive land use plan, and it is consistent with the AR1 agriculture residential zoning of the property. Four, this recommendation is for the mulch operation only. Since that is consistent with the AR1 agriculture residential zoning of the property, Mr. Smith did not recommend approval of the RV and boat storage on this property because A, it is inconsistent with the underlying zoning, B, it is not consistent with the surrounding approved and existing residential uses, C, the applicant could not provide sufficient details about his plans for the storage, the area where it would be located, or how it would affect neighboring properties and uses. And D, the applicant generally failed to make a sufficient record in support of the RV and boat storage part of his application. Five, this recommendation for approval of the mulching facilities is however subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to a mulching facility only. There shall not be any composting permitted on the site. No lumber, stumps, or construction waste shall be accepted at the site. B, the applicant shall install a 6-foot-tall solid fence along the boundaries of the mulching operation, screening and separating the operation from adjacent neighbors. The location of the fence shall be shown on the final site plan. No fencing shall be required along other properties owned by the applicant or his family. C, grinding and processing hours will be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday. No Sunday hours shall be permitted. D, there shall be no grinding, processing, or mulch storage operations within 300 foot of any neighboring property line. The area set aside for grinding and processing shall be shown on the final site plan. E, the area set aside for mulch storage shall be shown on the final site plan. Processed mulch shall be stored in bins as shown on the final site plan. F, the applicant shall control delivery of wood and tree materials to the site. Acceptance hours will be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. The site shall be gated so that after hours deliveries or dumping do not occur. G, sales and delivery hours shall be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday with no Sunday hours. H, water shall be available to control dust and for fire prevention within the site. And I, the final site plan, shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, second, and carried with 3 votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. Motion carried 3-1 with Mr. Johnson opposing the motion. For benefit of council, I've passed down copies of the survey site plan for the application. I also passed down some photographs submitted by the applicant and an article on the wood chipping processor that's proposed to be used. It's a roto chopper diesel powered wood chipping machine.
Is there any staining of the wood going to take place?
Pardon?
Are they going to stain the wood a certain color?
Yeah, they also can do that, but here I have to explain that in the process. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions from council? If not, is the applicant here or the applicant's representative? Can you come forward, please? Give us your name, address, and then explain your application, please.
My name is Timothy Miller. I live at 34478 Mad Dog Run, Frankfort, Delaware. Can you restate what the instructions
are? Yes, what you need to do is to go through your application, explain to us, just as you did planning and zoning, what you plan to do there. This is an entirely new hearing.
So if I'm clear, though, the boat storage was denied, so I shouldn't even address that part of it?
It's before us. We just have their recommendation. So you give us your entire application.
Okay. Well, and you have referred to the site plan that we provided as far as the layout. I guess I can just start there and show what I would like to do. This parcel of land is, I guess, shown on the site map in the top right-hand corner. We're about 4 miles west of Route 1, about 2 or 3 miles south of Route 26. It's a relatively rural area, surrounded by some up-and-coming developments. There's signage there. There's some plans intact. So I saw a good opportunity to provide a service for the community with some mulch sales. I was going to bring it. Initially, I'd like to bring in mulch at a wholesale price and then retail it. I'd also like to store boats and RVs for residents of these upscale communities. A lot of times in what is considered an upscale community, they don't want you to have a boat in front of the house or in the yard. And the way that this property is positioned in between two mature forested buffer tree lines, as I'd shown on some of the images that I passed out before the Planning and Zoning Commission, it's separated naturally from any other parcel. There's an existing land surveying office along the county road now that has a pole building or a four-car garage behind it. If you refer to the site plan, you can see it's noted on that plan. So this area for the mulch processing and the boat storage would fall in between the two wood lines. You'd have to slow down and make a designated attempt to look to see this even from the county road. There has been some discussion of a development that's going to be on the property neighboring to the south. I think a 243 lot upscale community has been proposed, and the person who wants to do that was kind of arguing against this. But the fact of the matter is the wooded area would prevent any visual line of sight from the boat storage or the mulching. And as far as the systematic process, how things would work, I would like to have some limited signage along an existing vinyl fence that is separating the land surveying office from the property to the north. We'd have directional signage as you approach the mulch processing area. Cars would be directed to enter in a loop-like fashion, and it would be a very controlled, systematic process for someone to pull in, pick up mulch, and then exit. The boat storage would be also under a contractual agreement with anyone who wanted to store their boat there. There would be specific instructions as to when they could pick up the boat and when they can drop it off. We would not allow haphazard dropping off, picking up. As far as the security and the fencing, it's an expensive endeavor to create a nice-looking fence. One of the images shows the 7 or 6 foot vinyl fence that's now along the property line with the surveying office I just mentioned. My intentions are to provide the fencing, but it would be done incrementally to separate the mulch storage and the boat RV and the boat, excuse me, the mulch sales area and the boat storage area from each other, as well as any neighboring property. In the future, I'd say maybe a year or two down the road, I'd like to move into the processing aspect of the mulching. There is a piece of equipment that's considered a mulch processor. I think the brand name is Roto Chopper. It's a single pass grinder that wood chips are passed through, and at the same time they're grinded into mulch and dyed. This would allow me to provide a service for the community when tree trimming companies and municipalities trim trees and put the branches through the chipper and turn them into wood chips. I'd ask for those people to drop them off at the site, and I'd pass them through the single pass grinder and sell them as mulch. I think that pretty much sums it up. Do you have any questions?
Did you talk to Planning and Zoning about that you wanted to do dyeing of the material?
Yes.
They knew about that?
They did, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Is it possible for the, are you familiar with the conditions they've placed on you?
I had called Planning and Zoning last Friday morning, and the person who answered the phone said I was approved, but I still need to come to this meeting.
Well, no, you're not approved.
Yeah, I know. I did. What I was told at the on the phone.
They made a recommendation.
Yeah, I think that's what they said. I was approved by Planning and Zoning, essentially, from their recommendation. But to answer your question, no, I have not seen the documented.
Well, they've limited it, as you well know, to just the grind or the mulching, mm-hmm. right?
And okay.
And because they felt that the mulching operation is consistent with the agricultural residential zone, mm-hmm. and they felt the boat storage was not. It was inconsistent with zoning, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, they went down and made some recommendations, and it said the use shall be limited to just a mulching facility only. There shall be not any composting on site. No lumber, stumps, or construction waste shall be accepted yet.
Did Mr. Lank mention when he was giving his explanation or the minutes that because they were, I was going to accept wood chips, that was a benefit to the community to allow less materials going to the landfill? I thought he had said that.
Well, he may have said that, but I'm just saying this is one of the conditions they've, on their recommendation that they've made on your behalf, they said that they wanted to limit it, that there'd be no lumber, stumps, or construction waste. You're saying you would
I
like
would
to be able
wood
to...
chips, which would be branches run through a wood chipper.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Right, Lawrence, that doesn't mean that kind of stuff, does it?
No, he's fine.
He's right.
The limitation was lumber, waste, construction material, and stumps.
And stumps.
But what he's receiving is, what he hopes to receive
yard
is
waste
stuff that's already chipped.
Okay.
Only
where the contractor
gotcha.
Or
I understand.
The
okay.
tree trimming company's already
gotcha.
Done.
Gotcha, so they don't have to haul it back somewhere. Right. Then it said they also wanted you to put a 6-foot-tall solid fence around the boundaries of the mulching operation. Do you have any problem with that?
No, I don't.
And grinding and processing, they've limited you to like 9 to 6, Monday okay. through Friday, 9 to noon on Saturdays, no Sunday hours. Is that?
That's for the grinding. That's fine. Now, was there a was it specific to just grinding? Or could sales take place?
I
on
think
Sunday?
It says grinding and processing are
so
limited.
Sales could take place.
Sales,
on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything.
It's separate.
There's
that's on item G.
Another line item.
Oh, that's on. We'll get to that. Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
D is there shall be no grinding, processing, mulch storage operations within 300 feet of any neighboring property line. Is that?
That's fine.
You got enough land? Mm-hmm. Okay. Areas set aside for mulch storage shall be shown on the final site plan. It's okay. Applicant shall control delivery of wood and tree materials to the site. Acceptance hours shall be limited to 9 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Site shall be gated so that after-hour deliveries or dumping do not occur. That's no problem, right? Okay. Sales and delivery hours will be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon Saturday, and no Sunday hours. So Sunday, you wouldn't mind doing some business on Sunday at the beach?
I'd prefer to do business.
Okay, so that's a point we can all consider. And water shall be available to control dust and for fire prevention.
There's water there.
Okay, and then final site plan. That's okay. Okay, so you have maybe a concern there that you would like to be able to have retail of your
on
product
Sundays.
On 7 days a week.
That's correct.
Okay. Would limited hours on Sunday or just, I mean, on Saturday they have 9 to noon. Is Sunday hours similar to... Or would you just rather have 9 to 6, 7 days a week?
That's what I'd prefer, 9 to
okay.
6, 7
all
days
right.
a week.
Okay. That's all. I just want to make sure he was familiar with those.
Are there any other questions from council?
I'm just wondering about the hours and whatnot. And if deliveries come, you know, in on off hours, do you have somebody, would this business support one employee to be there full time or... What or not?
One employee.
One.
Yeah. I think one employee should be fine. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when it's closed to deliveries, then do you have some way to bar people from coming in? And
well, they'd mentioned a gated fence. I had
yeah.
thought, you know, at least
gated.
A string or some type of a chain, but
okay.
the gated fence
right.
would
okay.
be.
Right, okay. Fine. Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything else, sir, that you'd like to add?
No, sir.
Is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else?
Go ahead.
Do you have a question?
I, Who's this house belong to in the back here?
That's my residence.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
How about the one in the front, then?
That's the surveying office.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, it's all on the same property?
Well, it's been subdivided into three pieces. I don't have a map showing the subdivision, but initially it was one piece, and my family owned it, and we've subdivided into three separate lots.
Right. But you own everything around there?
I do, or my...
You own the back and the front?
That's, well, my father owns the front.
Well, okay. It's in the family. Well,
he's not opposed to this application?
No,
your father?
No, he's not.
Just checking.
Just want to tell me who the surveyor is.
Huh? Surveyor is.
Yeah, it's a surveyor.
Oh, that's a surveyor. That's right. That's right. So delivery, let me just clear this one up. Delivery, sales, you'd like to be able to sell 7 days a week.
That's correct, yes.
On delivery of your...
That would, Monday through Friday during the recommended
with that.
Hours.
Is You're fine with that. Yes. Okay, Monday through Friday on delivery. All right. There's some big notes of those.
Are there any other questions of council?
Well, I need to catch up a little bit here. You're talking about dyeing the material, and I didn't see anything here. I'm concerned about the dye and having it seep into the ground and soil. Planning and zoning didn't make any, I don't see any comments about that. So they didn't comment on it. It's just silent.
That'll come under natural resources.
It's a process. I don't know. We'd have anybody that would ever know anything if they're doing it right or not, but you could maybe, Everett, put in there that any dyeing processes need to be reviewed by DNRAC.
Will be.
Yeah, but probably will be, but they won't know they're doing it unless we notify them.
The specifics on the dye don't have the details, but it is, my understanding, an all natural based dye. It's not hazardous to the environment.
Mm-hmm. Well, you may use that, but see, you could sell this operation, and the next guy maybe use a dye that's not. So even though you got good intentions, the use will go with the land, not with you, if you follow me on that.
If later it would be the pleasure of the council, we could add in the word, any dyeing process is subject to review by DENREC and or the appropriate agencies.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. But we need to finish the public hearing first. Are there any other questions from council? I had already called once for anyone else that may want to speak on behalf of the application. I'll make the call once more. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this application? If not, you can have a seat, sir. Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, at this point, the public hearing is over, and Mr. President, what is the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion. We'll close the public hearing and close public comment, and if you will read the title, we'll see what the pleasure of council is.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for mulch storage, processing and sales, and boat and RV storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, Delaware, containing 1.729 acres, more or less, with conditions as read by Mr. Lank, which were A through I.
Yeah, I'll make a motion then, if everybody's ready.
Well, we need to amend some of these conditions. Do you want to do that now? Or?
Well, I could. My motion could maybe make those at the same time, I guess. Everett, there was one on the dying. Could you read that again? We'd like to amend.
Yes, we could add, any dying process shall be subject to review by DRNEC and or appropriate agencies.
And that would be letter?
That'd be J. Is that correct?
Number two.
That'd be J.
Can I add to that, please?
Yes.
Rather than just review, it needs to be review and approval.
Okay.
Okay.
So review and approval.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Lane.
On G, I would suggest that we delivery hours will be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm. And then we have hours on C as well, about grinding and processing. That was, you had no problem with that, with restricting that.
Excuse me, Mr. Cole, what was that one again?
Well, I think the delivery, I'm trying to separate the delivery from the sales. Mm-hmm. So on G, if we just struck the word sales and we leave delivery hours will be limited to, okay?
Okay.
And then on C, we could add maybe JK, sales shall be permitted between 9 and 6, 7 days a week.
Why 9?
Hmm?
Why 9 o'clock?
Well, it's just because it's consistent with everything else.
Oh, that's what he wants?
Yeah, just, there was...
He had 1-8, right?
I prefer 9 to 6 on mm-hmm. Sundays.
George.
Well, okay. All right, well, anyway, so sales on JIT would be K. Sales will be permitted 7 days a week, 9 to 6. Okay?
But delivery hours are different than that.
Delivery, yeah. Well, delivery is, I think it was just 9 to 6, Monday through Friday.
Monday and 9 to noon on Saturday.
Well, we're going to strike that because those guys aren't working on Saturdays.
Acceptance of material was 9 to 6 on Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And which item is that, Mr.
G Light? Again, I guess.
F.
Mm-hmm. Oh, F,
yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes, acceptance, uh-huh. Well, it already says that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, oh yeah, delivery is means you're leaving your site and delivering.
No.
What do we need at delivery? Is that coming or going?
It's delivering
wood chips. Okay, acceptance hours is the same thing then. Delivery of acceptance hours. Okay, those ought to be all coordinated then. F and G, Lawrence, shouldn't they be the same hours?
Yeah, they should be.
Okay.
One's acceptance, one's delivery.
Right, we're striking G, sales out of G mm-hmm. is all. Tell me when you think you know what I'm talking about. Tell me when to stop.
I know what you're talking about, George.
I think we're okay so far.
Think we got it?
We'll see when we read it back.
You want to read it back?
You yes. better read it
Did
back.
Did we check C?
Yes.
Did we change C?
Did we change C?
Or are we leaving that as it was?
I wouldn't.
Grinding. We're leaving that as it is? Okay.
That's fine.
A through F remain the same. G... We deleted the word sales and. Then we added two additional paragraphs. J is any dyeing process shall be subject to review and approval by DENREC and or appropriate agencies. K would be sales will be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days per week.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
George, you want to take one thing?
What was that?
The picture.
Yeah.
Chicken trucks in there. They're there all hours and night.
Why not? But
7 days a week.
No, I mean, the chicken house over there doesn't have chicken house trucks 7 days a week. It has it when it needs food. It needs it when they pull them out.
I know, but they're there.
That's rare.
They're there 7 days a week.
Of course.
We have a motion.
What I'm saying is we only get two.
We didn't.
It's okay.
No, I think we met... 99% of what he
right,
yeah, don't you
that.
Think? I mean,
we have a motion and a second to approve conditional use 1896.
No, I believe these are just for the amendments.
I'm sorry.
First.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That'd be fine.
It's the amendments. Anything else? We'll call for the vote. Ms. Deaver?
This is for the amendments.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
That Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes.
Make a motion that we adopt the ordinance with the amended conditions.
Second.
Now, I would like to question
That'd be fine.
When the original approval from planning and zoning made, it was for the mulching operation only
right.
and not for the boat storage.
Okay. How would
And so if that is your desire to follow the recommendations and approval, you should state that, and okay. it is for the one only.
I make a motion that we follow the recommendations and approval and to support a planning and zoning's recommended conditions with the amended conditions, I guess.
And that is for the mulching operation?
Mulching operation only.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have a second?
Second. Mm-hmm.
I have a second. Questions?
I
guess I don't see a problem with the boat storage. Is this boat just to decide whether or not we're going to include or not include the boat storage, or is this going to be the up and down vote on the application in its total?
This will be the up and down vote on Mr. Cole's motion, which is for the approval of the mulch operation only with the conditions as amended.
If it is voted down, is there then an opportunity for another motion that would include the boat storage?
If it is voted down, if it is, there could be a motion for just the boat storage because his motion is just for the mulch operation. I believe you can make a motion then just for the boat storage.
Can you make a motion for both the boat storage and the mulch operation?
At this point, there is a motion on the floor with a second that is just for the mulching operation.
Okay, could I move to amend that motion to include the boat storage?
If at this point, since there's been no vote, if Mr. Cole would consent to that.
I think I would rather prefer to follow Planning and Zoning's recommendation at this point. And after going through this hearing, I think that I'm comfortable with what has been proposed.
Otherwise,
I don't want to withdraw mine at this point.
If he's not willing to withdraw, then there would need to be a motion to amend and a vote on that motion to amend.
Okay, so I move that we amend his motion to include the boat storage. And if I get a second, we can vote on that, correct?
You could vote on that.
Okay.
After we've done this already?
Since there's not been a vote on, he can make the motion, but if it passes, you could then amend it.
Okay. We have a motion.
Is he amending George's? He amending your?
Amending my motion.
Yeah.
Right. My name's not Robert.
On the amendment to the motion.
To amend to include the boat storage with the mulch operation.
Not in a second yet.
Correct. Okay, we have a motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Wilson.
So that's all the uses that were included. All right.
No, that's just asking that it be amended to include the boat storage.
Right. Okay.
Discussion.
Sure.
I guess it's just obvious that there doesn't seem to be a problem in the neighborhood with this. Nobody came to oppose. It's a clean operation. It looks like he's thought this thing through. It just seems like another opportunity for economic progress, so why not give it to them?
It's back in the boondocks. I mean, the woods all the way around the thing. The only thing that's in the way is the house. It's on the other end, so everybody's going to be disturbed. It's going to be right in its own site.
Well, did
so
we ask?
I don't understand why. I don't quite understand why plans don't turn it down. I don't see enough evidence to turn it down.
Did we ask for buffers around it so that you know?
Got buffers loaded with buffers. Did you see the picture?
So no, I'm just. I did. We ask for that. To, that it remain.
I mean, it is buffered up. This is a piece of land.
Well, it can be developed.
That piece of land is appropriate for what he's asked for, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Planning and Zoning does state their reasons for not approving it in their number four.
What is number four?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, read the.
Says, I do not recommend approval for RV and boat storage because A, it's inconsistent with the underlying zoning. It is not consistent with the surrounding approved and existing residential uses.
Yep.
The applicant could not provide sufficient details about his plans for the storage, the area where it would be located, or how it would affect neighboring properties and uses, and the applicant generally failed to make a sufficient record in support of the RV and boat storage part of the application. That was per Planning and Zoning's motion that passed 3-1.
And then if you read back in the minutes, gentlemen, there is the commission found that two neighboring property owners were at the Planning and Zoning mm-hmm. Commission hearing, which is during the evening,
mm-hmm.
and they are on record, so it's not as if there was no opposition. And they had the adjoining property owner was present in opposition to the application because it stated her farm has been approved for development as an RPC. And they're concerned about all the use. They were against everything, and Planning and Zoning decided to say that part of the application was inconsistent, part was consistent. So I think it's nice.
Were they against the grinding, or were they against the?
The whole application, Sam.
To me, if I was a neighbor, I'd be against the grinding sooner than I would a boat just sitting out making absolutely no noise.
They didn't want to eat.
They sit way back there off the highway and way in the woods. What in the world can that boat, how can a few boats disturb anybody or harm anybody sitting back there in the woods? It's just.
But we're not voting on just the boat storage. We're now voting. You've amended it to, or somebody's amended it to include everything. So,
right.
The concern is the neighboring property owner said they were in mm-hmm. opposition to the application, the whole application.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Initially, the vote is going to be on the amendment for the boat storage. Just that's being
to include boat storage. That's right. The one they were going to vote on, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Anything else? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I don't like adding boat storage. I agree with planning and zoning's decision and their reasons for their decision.
Mr. Cole.
I concur with the planning and zoning submission's rationale on supporting just part of the application.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'm going to support planning and zoning and vote no. Motion defeated.
All right. Now my motion is still alive?
Yep.
Right.
Now the motion is to approve the mulching operation only.
With the amended
conditions. Any question on that? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes. I think planning and zoning adequately considered the neighborhood and made a right decision on this, and I concur with their reasons and with all the conditions as amended.
Mr. Cole.
Vote yes. I think the planning and zoning recommendations are appropriate.
Phillips.
Yes. I believe that the application is appropriate and good to the
time. Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I also agree with planning and zoning. It does seem to fit the area. If it's property, it's agricultural and usage. So I vote yes. Motion carries.
And I will just point out that motion, when Mr. Cole made it, was specifically for just the mulching operation.
Mm-hmm.
And he referenced that it was not for the boat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Next, Mr. Moore.
The next one, Terry L. Martin, Mr. Lank.
Sorry, a technical issue over here.
Technical difficulty.
This is conditional use number 1903, the application of Terry L. Martin to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a commercial sunroom display to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 10.22 acres, more or less, lying south of Route 9. Also known as Georgetown Highway, 0.6 mile east of Route 5 at Harbison. Again, for the record, the Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on July 14th of 2011. For the benefit of council, I've passed down copies of the survey for this site. The commission in the public hearing process heard comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department. Terry Martin was present and gave testimony in support of her application. On July 14th of 2011, the commission did defer action for further consideration. On July 28th of 2011, the commission discussed the application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1903 for Terry L. Martin for a commercial sunroom display based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the purpose and use of this application is very limited. It is only for the display of a sample sunroom on the applicant's property. No sales will occur on the site, and it will not generate any additional traffic. Two, the use will not adversely affect the neighboring properties or community. Three, the location is appropriate along Route 9, which has some small to medium-sized business and commercial uses along it. Four, no parties appeared in opposition to the application. Five, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to the display of a sample sunroom only. No retail or wholesale sales shall occur on the site. B, the sample sunroom must be located outside of the front and side yard setbacks. C, one lighted sign not to exceed the size of the 12 square foot current sign shall be permitted. Its location shall be in accordance with county regulations. Indeed, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated and that motion carried 4-0. For the benefit of the council, I did receive an additional agency comment. It is from the Sussex Conservation District in a form of a memorandum and was received on June 21st of 2011. There is one soil type on this property. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction, if there were any, and to maintain vegetation. There are no storm flood hazard areas affected, no tax ditches affected, and it is not likely that any on-site or off-site drainage improvements would be required. And that's all I have.
Is it sitting that far enough, Mr. Light, from the property line right
now? That's the reason for the condition. Mm-hmm. It needs to be back at least 40 feet and at least 15 from the side.
Okay.
That's why I reference outside of it.
Okay.
Well, that was going to be my question, Mr. Lank, because it says outside of the front and side yard setbacks. Would that mean within?
That's the way it was read into the record, and I didn't amend it. But it should be within the setbacks. Everybody would be at least 40 from the front, at least 15 from the side.
Okay. Any other questions from council? If not, is the applicant here or a representative of the applicant? Could you give us your full name and address, please, and then explain your application?
Terry L. Martin, 26772 Lewis Georgetown Highway, Harbison, 19951. Just trying to find a way to make some additional money to keep my mortgages paid and up to date right now. It's been a little tough last 2 years. So I had an acquaintance approach me in chamber, and because I have road frontage and he does not have any, if he could just display his sunroom there and a sign to try to get some additional business.
So that you are not opening up an operation for sunrooms?
No, not at all.
But people could pull up in his drive and walk over to look at it, right?
Sure. Yeah, he has an information box out there, so you can pull an information slip that has his name and phone number.
Do you think it's effective for it to be 40 feet back off the road?
No, ma'am.
It's very small.
Yes, it is.
To be any closer would require it to be an application before the Board of Adjustment for a variance.
You'd be surprised. 40 feet isn't that. I mean, you're going down Route 9, 40 feet, it's still awfully visible. That's, I
think so.
Yeah, I mean, 40 feet's the back of the room.
That's more like
it's small.
Feet.
Huh?
That's more like 80 feet, George.
That's even 80 feet. Well, whatever. I'm just saying 40 feet is not that big a deal when you got a structure like that.
It's going to be moved back from where it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
60 feet, I guess.
Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions from council?
Would there be any lighting?
He does have a light inside the room
mm-hmm.
during the night.
Okay. Somebody's got to sit there and read.
In the sunroom.
Yeah, all night long.
That's right.
They just sit there all night.
But there's no external lighting pointed towards them.
No, none.
Okay.
Any other questions? If not, is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, if you want to have a seat. Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone that would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, at this point, the public hearing is over, and it's up to the pleasure of the council.
We'll close the public hearing, close public comment, and if you would read the title, we will see if there's a motion.
Excuse me just a second. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a commercial sunroom display to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, Delaware, containing 10.22 acres, more or less, with conditions that Mr. Lank read A through D into the record.
Okay, I'll make the motion.
I have a motion, Mrs. Deaver, to approve conditional use 1903 with conditions.
Yes, with conditions.
Second.
And second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
I'm voting yes. It's an appropriate use for the area. There's other commercial uses right along that road there, and it's not going to generate a lot of traffic. And it's not a bad thing to look at. It's not unsightly, and I think she's asking very little, and I think it should be approved. And I agree with planning and zoning, and approve. And I agree with, and I would like to have the conditions included.
Cole.
I'll vote yes. I don't feel that this application will have any impact on neighboring properties, on traffic, or any other infrastructure issues. I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips.
I'll vote yes for the recommendations of planning and zoning. It's a very low impact.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes.
I also agree with planning and zoning's findings and the conditions placed. And I will also vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Good luck. Hope you sell a lot of them.
Mr. Lane?
Yes, next application is conditional use number 1904. The application of Joe Maki to consider the conditional use of land in a GR General Residential District for parking, storage, and maintenance of equipment with an office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 4.28 acres more or less, lying west of Road 288, also known as Will King Road, 0.3 mile north of Road 280B, also known as Conley Chapel Road. Again, for the record, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on July 14th. For benefit of council, I pass down copies of the survey and site plan for this application. On the 14th of July, the commission held a public hearing on this application and had received comments from DelDOT and the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. The applicant was present and gave testimony. Two parties were present in support of the application and gave testimony. Eight parties were present in opposition to the application that spoke and expressed concerns about the use in a general residential district and that the use is inappropriate and gave quite a bit of testimony. Mr. Blessinger, a member that was present in opposition, submitted opposition materials, which are referenced in the record. The applicant did respond to some of the questions raised by the commission after the testimony by the opposition and made reference by stating that his operating hours may be from 7 a.m. to 5:30 to 6 p.m., that there are not any parties taking place at the site, that he has one employee, that he does participate in emergency snow removal operations, and that the operating hours would have to be flexible enough to allow him to operate the business at all hours for emergency snow removal. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application and on July 14th did defer action for further consideration. On July 28th of 2011, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1904 for Joe Maki for parking, storage, and maintenance of equipment with an office based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use started in the nature of a home occupation approximately 12 years ago and has expanded to the point where a conditional use is now required. Two, all the excavation work or operation of equipment for construction purposes occurs off-site. Three, the use will not adversely affect the neighborhood or traffic in the area. DelDOT has stated that the level of service A of Will King Road will not change as a result of this application. Four, a dwelling will remain on the premise as a residence and no additional buildings will be constructed on the site. Five, the use of the property for storage and maintenance of excavation equipment provides a service to residents and businesses of Sussex County. In addition to excavation, the applicant also provides snow removal services in Sussex County. Six, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to parking, storage, and maintenance of equipment for the applicant's business with an office. No excavation or construction activities shall occur on site. B, any security lighting on site shall be downward screened so that the lights do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. C, the entrances shall be secured at all times with gates and fencing. D, per the applicant, no additional building shall be constructed on the site. E, no junked or inoperable construction equipment or construction vehicles, shall be stored on the site. Only vehicles and equipment utilized in the excavation business are to be stored and maintained on the site. F, regular hours of operation shall be 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., with additional hours as needed to address snow removal operations in Sussex County. G, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements for the site. The final site plan shall confirm the entrance approved by DLDOT for the property. H, planted vegetative buffers shall be provided along the perimeter of the property utilizing native species as recommended by the State Forestry Office. 6-foot-high stockade fencing shall be erected along Oakwood Village as each phase is developed. I, the final site plan, shall show all areas designated for the storage of vehicles and equipment as well as the vegetative buffer and fencing. And J, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0. I did receive an additional agency comment. It's from the Sussex Conservation District in the form of a memorandum and was received on July 21st after the commission's public hearing. And we are advised that the site has two soil types, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction activities, and then to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas affected, no tax ditches affected. There is no need for off-site drainage improvements, and it may be necessary for on-site drainage improvements if any construction were to take place. And also received earlier today an email in support of the application from Adrian and Edward Ponzini, and also an email in support from Fred Offner. That's all I have, unless you have questions.
So these trees that you see here on the road, we don't know whether that particular depth of trees is going to be retained, or do we?
It's pretty much retained there now. But it's not a condition. But it could be.
It won't be a condition.
It could be.
Because you can't see anything.
Right, you could. It could be. It could be a condition added to what the commission recommended that they be remain in their natural state.
Okay.
Any other questions from council? If not, if the applicant or the applicant's representative could come forward, please give us your full name and address, please, and explain your application and why you're here.
My name is Joseph Munchie, 20772 Will King Road, Lewis, Delaware. Mr. Moore, I got some copies. Thank you.
Thanks.
I have some pictures I'd like to show you all, too. I'll give it to you. I like to tell a little bit about myself so you all understand more so exactly what I do for a living. I'm a self-employed excavating contractor with 29 years in business, 12 of which have been in Delaware. I'm actually a subcontractor to builders and homeowners who require my services. All revenue work is done off-premises. There is no construction that takes place at my yard. My yard is and has always been a storage and maintenance facility. There is no in and out traffic. It's not habitual during the day. My truck goes out in the morning, possibly with a machine in tow, and typically does not return until the evening. Most of the times, my machines do not come back to my yard because they move from job to job. If an engineer should call me up and schedule test pits dug, then I'll load up my backhoe and I'll proceed out in the morning, and when I'm completed, either the machine will go to another job or I'll bring it back to my yard, unload it, and put it where it belongs properly. Although I do own several pieces of equipment, I have a loader, a backhoe, a skid steer, I have an excavator, and a bulldozer. I have a triaxle dump truck. I have a Dodge Ram 3500 service truck, which is compatible to a pickup truck. And I do have a demolition dump trailer, which I'll show you pictures later on, due to the economy, has been off the road for 2 years, has not been registered since August of 2009. The only trucks that do go in and out of my yard at this time is my triaxle dump truck, and if I need my service truck on the job, my service truck goes out. When this equipment requires maintenance, it is performed inside my shop where all my tools are located. The door is pulled down for privacy, never work with the door open. No outside maintenance is performed, it never has been, and I will not do it. All my tools are inside, and especially at 3 and 4 in the morning, as previously stated from people at the planning and zoning meeting. I absolutely never rev the engines of my machines at 3 and 4 in the morning, as said at the planning and zoning meeting. And when I'm in my building, I certainly don't do it because I will not put carbon monoxide inside my shop. My typical hours are limited. There was accusations made against me, and I'm up and down the road at 3 and 4 in the morning with my truck. And I have to beg to differ on that. My typical hours of operation are limited because most of the homeowners associations I work with, Wolf Run, Wolf Point, Hawk's Eye, the country clubs, along with several of the townships that I'm licensed in to work, Lewis, all the way down to Dewey, they've all got restricted work hours. That is why my typical work hours are roughly 7 to 5, 5:30. Sometimes, although, I may leave earlier if I have a customer on the western part of the county that I need to go out to and service, I may leave at 6:30. But I never leave my shop before 6 o'clock because any place I serve business, I don't go out of generally a 40-minute radius. I serve as far down as Bethany Beach, I go as far west as Seaford, and I go as far north as Milford. And again, sometimes, on rare occasion, I will go out a little bit earlier because I need to get to a job to perform my tasks. On the same token, I may work a little bit later sometimes if they're calling for rain on a Monday and Tuesday and it's going to shut my job down and I can finish it. I may very well work out in the country till 5:30, 6 o'clock and pull back in my yard at 6:30. Again, I do not feel these are irregular hours. Most people are up at those hours during the week, and I've never offended anybody in the past. Although there is truck traffic on the road at 3 and 4 in the morning, I can't deny that. It's not my dump truck. There are chicken haulers who live on Will King Road, and to their defense, they were there long before I was there, and they were hauling chickens long before I was there. And when I moved on the street, I hear them sometimes at 3 and 4 in the morning also. They deliver in New York at Hunts Point and are coming back empty at 3 and 4 in the morning, and then they preload the next afternoon, get a nap, and they leave and do the same thing. With all due respect to these chicken haulers, I was aware that they were there when I moved in 12 years ago, and I just have to deal with it because in my world, they were there first, and I was well aware of it. As a matter of fact, when I moved here myself, Chapel Green was just a field. My yard and business was well established as each house was built, and they were all well aware of my operation. To date, there are approximately 9 small businesses within a mile to a mile and a half of my shop, ranging from landscape businesses to chicken poultry trucking to radio stations. I happen to pride myself, as the pictures that I will show you, you will see, that I keep my yard impeccable. Most people who go by my yard have no idea that an excavating contractor even parks there, and it's been like that since the day I set up shop. When I moved down here, I didn't just come in and do what I felt like doing. I think it's important for the council to know, and for the newspaper, and for the residents, because an article in here that was not too accurately printed, it did not represent any of the facts whatsoever, but I'll get to that. When I moved down here, I took all the proper and professional steps to make sure my operation was legal before I moved one piece of equipment onto my property. I also designed my shop to be respectful of my neighbors. When I created that shop, I set my gate in 65 feet off the road. So when I pull in, all my truck and trailer is on my own property, not to obstruct traffic. I then get out on a daily basis, unlock a gate, which is locked in the morning when I leave. I open the gate up, pull my truck in, I let it idle for 2 minutes because it is a turbocharged diesel and I will not turn the key off immediately, And once that truck is shut down, there's no other need to start it again. The shop is 300 feet from the nearest house. The nearest house is owned by a man named Mr. Roy Purdy, and I believe he's in the back and he'll be getting up to speak. If you were to come out of my shop and stop at the end of my driveway, if it was nighttime, your headlights would literally light the back of Mr. Purdy's house up. I wheeled it off myself. It's 300 feet. It's a 40-foot. He's got a 40-foot setback. You have a 40-foot road right away. I have a 60 to 75-foot tree buffer, which you can see from the pictures, and then I sculpted where my yard would be. This was all done 12 years ago when I laid this out in my head. I'm sorry about that. I get off a little bit. The most important task was to ask the county if what I wanted to do was okay at this location. They approved my operation when I asked the question by saying I could do what I wanted there to keep and enhance my business. This was taking place October 8th, 1998, and I have a legal approval letter to correspond a response that we had back then. I received a letter from the county that said I may do what I have been doing for the past 12 years. I have been totally legal with letter in hand for the past 12 years. I was here with legal approval from the county long before there was any subdivision across the street from me. I would also like to note that until now, my county record holds not one complaint from anybody that was there before I was there, and from anybody that resided and built while I was there. A totally clean record. I would also like to note that this includes no loud parties at 3 in the morning like I was accused of, no slamming doors, no yelling and cursing, no motorcycles racing up and down out of my driveway. I'm 49 years old, I'm a family man, I'm a businessman. This is just unfounded, and I'm going to try not to spend too much time on that because, to me, it's just not worth the accusations that were made against me. Everything I can say and stand before the council, I can prove with facts, not rhetoric, not pulling things out of the sky just to slander somebody. I'll answer the best of my ability. Currently, I have 3 trucks, 2 large and 1 small. Due to the economy, 1 large truck has not been on the road for 2 years, which leaves 1 dump truck and 1 service truck for my whole operation. Being I am the only employee, and I'd like to correct something at the P&Z meeting. When I speak of an employee, I speak as myself as the employee. I have my father who helps me on occasion. He'll bring me out grease and fuel in my service truck, and my son will come out and help me when he's not in school. But when I refer to employees, I want to state I am the employee I'm referring to. So if I do it again in this meeting, please understand. If county council has any question that I'm a one-man operation, after hearing my people stand up and speak, I would extend an offer to the council that I would meet in closed doors and show them my quarterly tax returns for all of last year, which shows I'm the only employee on my company's payroll. And that's as God's honest as I can get. There's been comments that it's a big employee gathering place. There are no employees. In fact, while we're on that subject, I'd like to see if you all could take a look at the Cape Gazette, because I truly was raised thinking that a picture says 1,000 words. This article made front page 2 weeks after the planning and zoning meeting. Planning and zoning meeting was July 14th. This Ron MacArthur decided to write his piece 2 weeks after, July 26th and July 28th. He never contacted me, asked me my opinion, but yet he printed everything that the residents from across the street complained about and never asked for a comment from me. But the best thing he did for me is show up outside my gate unannounced, and I think that he took the most beautiful picture of my building. There's no employees, no cars.
Who drives the other trucks that you talked about?
If you can go back to the podium to speak so that it is on record. Could you speak at the podium?
The best thing that photographer did is go out there and park in my driveway and take pictures, because that's an unannounced picture. That's what you all would see if you went by there right now. And tomorrow when I'm back at work, you might see a white F-150 in that driveway, and that's mine. Every vehicle on that property is registered to Joe Muncie or my company. There are no outside vehicles. There's no 10 employees. And, man, I'll tell you, that is a, you know, well-manicured building. It's landscaped. The bluestone has no weeds in it. There are no eyesores whatsoever. When the people from across the street, the only picture that they can come up with was an aerial picture. Because I'm so blocked in, there's no way that anybody can see anything I'm doing from the street. I'd like to pass this down. You all take a look at it. And, Mr. Moore, you can add this into that file you have there. Thank you. For the record, this picture was submitted from the people complaining across the street.
Mm-hmm, sure. This house, is he there? Gotcha. No. I see a house in there. Is that a residence in?
It's my house. I own that house, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And I'll show you other pictures of that, Ms. Deaver. Mm-hmm. Being as I am the only employee other than my father or son who occasionally help me, how much truck traffic is possibly going on at this location? This spring, I sold 3 dump trailers. I marked them in the aerial that is going around now. I believe that was taken a year and a half ago. I sold a 35-ton low bed, and I sold 2 demolition dump trailers, and I sold 1 truck tractor. Again, because of the economy, they're simply not being used. And it's better for me to sell them rather than let them sit there. Again, they cannot be seen by the road. They are perfectly in privacy. They were simply not being used and were never visible from the road or by neighbors. Unlike a statement made by a Chapel Green woman that my business is getting bigger and bigger, nothing is further from the truth. Anybody who follows the economy knows that the building business is one of the hardest hit by the downswing. If anything, I've downsized, certainly not grown. In conclusion, I stand before council prepared to answer any questions to the best of my ability based on the facts regarding my operation. However, nothing has changed over 12 years. My complaint-free file testifies to this. My business hours have always been considerate of the neighbors and will remain this way. I also took all the correct steps when I first moved to this location, including informing the county. The county responded by sending me a letter back that states the land may be used for your own personal use and to enhance and continue your business. The fact of the matter that I took the proper steps and went through the correct channels to make sure I was legalized with my business. My property continues to be kept in impeccable condition, the same as it has been for 12 years, and I continue to respect all neighbors around my property. I'd like to make a note that out of the 8 people who stood up in opposition, according to the county record that I've got from the P&Z meeting, 2 live nowhere near my shop. They live well within the development, approximately a half mile in the development from my shop. While the remaining 6 complaining people, 2 are husband and wife, so that takes care of 4 of them, while the other 2 spoke without spouses. And I'll be honest with you, and I'll say it on record, I came into that meeting being honest, laid back about it. Everybody knows what I do there. A man purchased a subdivision behind me with the full knowledge of what my shop looks like and the condition it is kept in. And I was never so taken back in my life as to have the comments and accusations made about me. I give to the community, and I do things right. I don't run illegal businesses. I don't even drink alcohol. I don't race motorcycles. I don't have parties. I don't slam doors just to torment people. It's unfounded accusations. However, anything I've said in this meeting is a fact and verifiable facts. At this time, I'd like to give you all an example of what I was up against at the P&Z meeting. One gentleman stood up and said, "How many offices does Mr. Muchie need?" I did my research. He's got an office at Road 288 in Lewis. Then he said, and then he wants to get another office at this location. The fact of the matter is he didn't do his homework good enough, because if he'd been here as long as I've been here, he would know that my original address was County Road 288, RR7, E94B. That's how long I've been here. And then when he came through with the 911 road changes, I got 20772 Will King Road. The man is trying to tarnish me based on the same piece of property because he didn't know what it was like back then. I'd like to give this to you, Ms. Stever, and you all pass it down.
Okay. Okay.
There were other statements that people made in here that I've been cleaning up the site, and that's why it looks the way it does. The man said I've been busting my butt running around there cleaning it up. Truth of the matter is, it looks the same now as it did 12 years ago, and pictures can prove that. Pictures say 1,000 words. They say that there's foul language and barking dogs. I do have a dog. Most people do. My dog's like a kid to me. He stays inside my shop at night. When I get there in the morning, I let him out. And if he does bark, it's maybe because he sees a deer in the back or something like that. But as my neighbors will testify, it's certainly not a barking nuisance. They say that noise and work activities have been noticed at 4:35 o'clock in the a.m. That neighbors have reported foul language and barking dogs. Now, I'm just curious, if I have a clean record, who was this reported to? My record's clean. They also say that I have a boat in my yard. Yes, I have a boat. We live at the shore. And if you all go by there right now, the boat's down in the water at the Indian River, and there's an empty trailer sitting there. I don't live in a community, and I don't have HOA rules. And I thought I had a legal right to keep my boat trailer there. It makes sense to me. There's a lot of other things I can go on about in here.
Well, I don't think I'll, sir, I'm not to interrupt.
But I'm not going to keep going.
You should be a politician, okay? Because you can really talk.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't hear that well.
No, it's okay. Now, you've done a very good job. I think we get the point. And
I'd like you all to look at, and I'll be
right,
done.
Right. I think we've got the point. Mm-hmm. And pictures, you know, are good.
This picture. Cole, if he apparently he's trying to answer questions that were raised in the P&Z.
Okay.
And
okay.
In order to establish the record, he can
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Put those in.
Thank you. I'm sorry about that.
No, go ahead.
I'm on your side, Mr. Cole. I just, it hurts someone like me. I live by a rule of ethics, and it hurts when people slander me. And I'm sure you can understand that. But again, I think pictures say 1,000 words, not just accusations out of the sky. I wrote on the bottom of these what these pictures are. This is a picture from Mr. Purdy's back porch, what he looks at every day. This is another picture of you across Mr. Purdy, what the people who made the accusations look at every day. This is coming up Will King Road, looking across the front lawn of my house, diagonal towards my shops, to see what people coming up the road see every day. And this is a little bit better picture than the Cape Gazette, only because this one's got my two trucks in it. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to come over to Ms. Deaver for 1 second. This little truck is called my service truck. Mm-hmm. It's barely the size of a pickup truck, and that is my dump truck.
So it's just you driving?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
My father's got
a and your relatives, okay.
Here's another picture coming up the road with a caption on the bottom. This is my house at 2772 Will King Road, as was described at the planning and zoning meeting as an eyesore. This is a picture of my tractor trailer that is currently off the road. It may go back on the road next year if the work picks up, I don't know, but it's currently off the road. Here's a picture of the front license plate to show you all the expired tag of October 09. But I'll be honest with you. This picture is a picture of Chapel Green storage yard. They've got a storage yard. They park their boats and they park their campers, and I see trailers. In fact, this one's a turned over boat. This trailer's full of a bunch of debris. Now, I'll be honest with you. I mean, if I'm calling this an eyesore, then what in the heck is this? Now, they did this, and they charge each person $100 a year to park in these compounds. Is it legal? I don't know. Should it be there? I don't know. Can I see it from the road? Yes, I can. Did me or any of my other neighbors going to stand up and speak the truth today? Go over and complain about it or raise holy heck about it? I don't think we did, because it doesn't concern us. It's not my business. It's not my fight, okay? I know a lot of people in Conley Chapel. I help a lot of them out. When there's a blizzard, I go over and plow their driveway. I had one neighbor have a tree fall down 3-4 weeks ago in that big storm. I went over to one of my machines and cut it up for the woman to help her out, and never a bill sent. I get tomatoes for my gardens. I go over and give it to these folks. They're the ones that will stand up later on and tell the truth about what goes on over there, and they'll straighten out the truth from slander. I don't understand why it's good for the goose and good for the gander. I left Monmouth County, New Jersey to come down here for a better life for my children. My family were farmers since 1906. My family had the largest vegetable farm in the state of New Jersey. I think people should take the time and find out a man's history before they set out to slander him and try to put him out of business. When we were growing up, we went through these same kind of things back home. All the city people moved down. We irrigate greens at night. We couldn't when they moved down because they didn't want us running irrigation pumps at night. But then again, everybody's got a garden knows if you irrigate greens at night, during the day, it'll steam in the field. We weren't allowed to hunt in my hometown no more because all the city people came down and said they don't want hunters in the woods, even though we had 360 acres and we hunted all our life. So we went to the meeting to protest it. They got their way anyway because they came out with a different ordinance saying no discharge of firearms in this township. So I thought it was time for me to move away from the city because the city moved down to me. I came down here. I run a very respectable business. Other small businesses feed off of my business. I buy tires. I buy parts, different things. And I can't for the life of me figure out why after 12 years all these people come out with these vicious remarks against me and my business and slander me. The fact of the matter is why I want a conditional use permit is because I want to protect the rights of my children. That if one of them should want to take over my company, which has been there minding its own business, nobody can ever come up and say, well, Mr. Munchie, or say to my children, your father might have had a letter from the county saying you could be there, but it's addressed to him, and he passed away, so you guys are out of business. We're going to shut you all down. So to protect my family, I want my conditional use permit so that I may continue running there to enhance and grow my business as I see fit. And yes, maybe someday down the road, my son might want to hire an employee or two. But that property will never, ever change, not one iota. You can ride by there next week or in 5 years, and as long as I own possession of it, it will always look the way it does. It's just the way I am. It's the way I run my company. It's the quality of my work. I don't know. It was said at the other meeting, the question was asked at the planning and zoning meeting. I'd like to reiterate on this. They said, do you intend on putting any more buildings up? Well, right now I have two buildings and they're sufficient for me. The answer I gave back was not at this time. 5 years down the road, 6 years down the road, I may want to put up a 24 by 32 building to put some antique tractors in. I don't know. But I like to ask the council that I should be able to retain that right, providing it coincides with the rest of my buildings that are all colorized and color coordinated. I laid this place out knowing how it would look. And that's what I've done for 12 years. I like to pass these pictures around, please. And if anybody has any questions, certainly feel free.
You're aware that planning and zoning said that no additional buildings will be constructed on the site. It says per the applicant. Per the applicant, no additional buildings shall be constructed on site.
And my response was, at this time. My response was, at this time, I have no need for other buildings. No buildings will
be. But this means they wouldn't be. You'd have to come back for another use, another application, if you wanted to change it, if it were approved that way.
Well, that's why I'm asking the county. The same as I refer to myself as the employee, I clarified that in the beginning. I have two buildings right now. I have 4.3 acres over there. I have room for plenty more buildings, but at the time, and in this economy, my answer back to planning and zoning was, no, I'm not putting any more buildings up at this time.
Can you imagine what you would want in the future? Because it's very clear, if we don't know what you want to
put up in the future. We can't grant that to you. And Ms. Deaver's right. You're going to have to come back and go through this process again if you want more. But if you could tell us, if you could articulate now what you anticipate needing, there may be a way we could craft the language of the conditions to offer you that ability.
Okay. Mr. Phillips, yes, sir. What I'm saying is I don't see myself putting any buildings up at this time.
Okay,
and that's
so
why I answer the question. However, with that being said, if 8 or 10 years down the road, one of my sons wants to put a storage building up for a muscle car to store in or something, or to park his boat inside, I want to be able to retain the right to put a building up, providing
The right's never taken away from you.
Okay.
What we're just saying, as a conditional use, what we're doing is giving you a permit to do something that would not be permitted in that zone. So we're giving you a permit to do certain things. So like Mr. Phillips said, we can't speculate out in the future what you might want. 10 years from now, somebody might have to go spend $300 or $400 for an application mm-hmm. to amend this current conditional use to put up a building for a certain use. And if you have a great, clean record and there's been no problems, shouldn't be any issue.
Okay.
So that happens all the time. But we can't reach out into the future and find out what you're thinking or this next kid might be thinking.
Okay, but it would be, with all due respect, Mr. Cole.
Your rights are never taken away from you.
I'm sorry?
Your rights are never taken away from you. You can always come back and ask for more.
Yes, and I'm told, even though the people protesting want me to keep a GR, I'm told that if I ever want to turn my conditional use permit in, and build on it, you have to turn it back in.
Your conditional use runs with the land. It's there until you stop the use.
Oh, okay. So until that business is out of there.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't have to be you. It can be anybody.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Mr. Lank, I have a question. There's some questions concerning possible additional buildings on that. What was the application specifically that was filed? And if there were a condition that would allow an additional building, is that something that could be done?
The way it was applied for was for parking, storage, and maintenance of equipment with an office. Now, what the commission, and they didn't get specific, what the intent was that it related to that business. If it was his own personal garage for his boat or something of that nature, it should be clarified that it only relates to the business.
Which is acceptable.
Personal use is separate from the conditional use.
No additional buildings for personal use is what you're saying.
No additional buildings.
For business.
Related to the business.
Business should be constructed on it. That could be amended.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm fine with that, Mr.
The way the motion was written.
That's perfectly fine. I have the two big buildings up, which pertains to my excavating business. And like Mr. Lang says, if I did want to put up a smaller garage for a boat to be inside or something like that,
it would be filled with
recreational or antique farm tractors, things of that sort. If I decide to put a built-in pool in, it should have no effect if I want to put a pool house, a cottage behind my home. So I'm perfectly fine with that if you'd like to amend it like that. The only other thing I'd like to ask County, and it's not an everyday thing, as people will stand up and testify, I would like to know, I didn't hear the hours exactly from Mr. Lank when he announced that my hearing's kind of hard. I think it was 7 till 6 p.m.
7 a.m. to 6 p.m. with mm-hmm. additional hours as needed to address snow removal operations in Sussex County.
Okay. I would like to just know if I could have 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on a rare occasion. I have to go to the other side of the county again. When my truck pulls out, it's no different than a garbage truck going through the neighborhood. Every one of my equipment has mufflers on them. All of my trucks are DOT certified stock mufflers. There are no straight pipes. My truck is no more louder than a school bus, and it goes out to Seaford or Milford for the day, and it's gone. So with all due respect, I'd just like to ask if I could have 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. With the emergency clause in there. There may be a time, Council, that if I have a machine that breaks on a job, I have to go back to my yard, get my service truck, go back out, Ms. Deaver, and repair it, and then go back to my yard, get my bigger truck and my trailer, and then bring it back into my yard and put it in my shop and do work on it. I want it on record from the Council that this process, I may roll in at 7:30 p.m., but again, I like these instances to fall under only emergencies.
You don't do any work on site, do you?
I'm sorry?
You don't do any work on site.
Maintenance, you mean?
I mean, your the service you provide to customers is not done on site, is it?
No.
Well, I couldn't hear. I'm sorry.
The service you provide,
yes, sir.
Right, your business, you don't do any on-site work, do you?
At my yard?
Right.
Absolutely
not. No, you go off-site?
Absolutely not. If I do a lot clear,
okay,
everything's taken
care of. My suggestion then would be to strike all hours because there's no, and then maybe reference something that there's no operations on-site.
You're exactly right, Mr. Cole. And again, folks,
that might make it easier. More.
It's not like a landscape.
We can't regulate. It's very difficult to regulate that anyway. So
it's not like a landscape supply yard,
right,
folks.
I'm just suggesting
exactly.
That that's something that machines
somebody
go out can respond to.
And they come back in.
Okay, sir. Do you have anything else that you would like to add at this point?
No, I think I'm
good.
Mr. Cole's
now. Any questions?
I have a question.
I'll be honest with you. Ms. Deaver, I'm sorry, but go ahead, ma'am.
What's the name of the development directly across the street from you?
Directly across or behind?
Talks more than you, Sam, wasn't
it? Directly across.
That would be Chapel Green.
Green, Chapel Green, okay.
Yes.
And that's not the one that you said was 300 feet away. Sure. Did you?
Yes.
Really?
300
feet away from what?
There's extra bucks to cut.
From my shop.
Oh, your shop.
In other words, when I'm inside my shop, the mm-hmm. nearest house, which is Mr. Purdy's house, mm-hmm. is 300 feet,
okay.
and it's right outside my driveway.
Okay. And then what's the name of the community behind you?
That is called Oakwood Village.
Oakwood Village, okay. Mm-hmm.
And there's been nothing from them whatsoever. They're positive on it.
Mm-hmm.
They knew the place was here when he bought the development. They love the way it's kept. They have no negative comments whatsoever, and he'd be here. I got a letter I'd like to submit to Mr. Everett, and he can keep it in mind.
Don't read it. Just submit it, please.
I'll tell you what. I'll read two paragraphs of it, okay? You'll love this one, Mr. Cole. You'll love this one. I am writing, and I promise it's my closing letter, okay? I am writing anonymously out of fear of reprisal. I live in Chapel Green, which I am now embarrassed to admit. I did not attend the July 14th P&Z meeting, but did listen to the online audio. I ask that you not judge the entire Chapel Green community by those who spoke against your request, although several speakers introduced themselves as members of the Board of Directors of Chapel Green, they by no means represented the community. Personally, I was embarrassed by some of the presentations, especially Mr. Blessinger, who was rightfully asked by the commission what his point was. I was appalled by Mrs. Leary's submission of a photo of your residence to prove you no longer live in Wilking Road. To me, both were unprofessional and pointless. Each and every spokesperson living within the perimeters of your property admitted to having purchased their homes with full knowledge of your existence. No one complained about the current problems they presented because of the assumption that you were in compliance of county code. They continued to live there. Now that you are seeking a CU variance, they come forward. If life was so bad after all these years, you would think they would have complained long ago. I just think that's an interesting statement. I'd also like to make the point that my one neighbor who stood up, Miss Denise, I don't know if she made it here today. It was hard for her to get off work. When I was on my way home, she called me about 10 minutes from home, and she said, Mr. Jody, follow me home. I says, who followed you home? She said, a carload of people from Chapel Green are sitting outside my driveway. I says, I'll be right down there and stay with you because your husband doesn't get off work for another half hour. And she said, no, I'll be fine. I'll just call the state police if they don't leave. I don't know why people have to resort to such tactics, but again, I think my neighbors will speak and back up the facts that I presented to you, and
thank you.
I want to thank you for your time.
What you're hearing,
I'm done.
Yep.
You should have been an attorney. They get paid to talk by the hour.
Bring me in, Mr. George. Bring me in.
What are you hearing? Does the concern seem to be that people are afraid you'll expand this business from where it is now? Is that what the concern seems to be from the people you've talked to?
Well, if it didn't bother them, Ms. Deaver, during what they call the boom, that was the most potent house building time this country has ever seen. So if I have a complaint-free record that rode me through, and I was busy back then. I mean, we were jamming. I mean, you've probably seen my trucks up in Lewis, and, you know, I'm all around town, and I was jamming back then. Today's a cakewalk compared to back then. No, I will never be the size of a Melvin Joseph, if that's what you're asking me.
That's what I'm looking at here. Does any of this limit the growth? Or, yeah, that's what I want to know.
No, Ms. Deaver. Let's just say at this age, I try to spend most time with my family. I've been successful over the years. I have some other companies that I live off of.
This goes to the land, with the land, not with you.
And this is what I do because I've been doing it for 29 years since we got out of farming. It gives me something to do every day. It pays my bills. Why people ask the last meeting is one man needs so much equipment. That's nothing. They should have seen when I downsized and back in Jersey. I have one piece for every job that a builder or homeowner could ask me to do, from a skid steer to a 44,000-pound excavator that could tear down a house. I have demolition dump trailers that haul it. I can move volume. I can pack dumpsters. I have a large dozer and a small dozer. I'm pretty it's kind of like a lawyer, you know, just being restricted to one type of law. He's worth more money if he's broad, and that's more or less what I am. But again, I don't destroy my property. There was accusations made that I bury things on there. No. I'm doing this.
Trying to find out.
Yeah,
what
I'm doing
we have
this.
Now. That's with fine. What
for the
we
opposition.
Have here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I'm sure the opposition
going
will
on
tell
long
us.
Going on long enough.
Was it? Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Cole, let me sit down.
Okay. Do you have anything else new to add?
Please don't.
No.
Okay.
Other than that, please.
Thank you.
Change,
is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this application? I see several names. If you come up one at a time, please, and give us your full name and address.
You can't be redundant, either.
Good.
My name's Rick Del Dugo, 2 Arrowwood Knobs, Chapel Green. I bought my house because it was so nice behind my house. I looked at my property and I said, look at this nice home that's behind my home. And there's a business there. When I looked over at the business, it looks the same as it does today. He keeps it clean. He's out there cleaning constantly. He sprays for the weeds, like you said. He's not making this up, or I would be just as vocal as anyone else. He keeps it clean. He's quiet. And he told you the hours, and that's his hours. Now, of course, during the snow, like you said, he has to come in and out. I mean, that's part of the job. He has contracts for that. And he doesn't make a lot of noise in there at all. I don't even hear him. I leave my windows open, and his house is right behind my house, right across Will King. I have no problem with it whatsoever. And he's actually a really good guy. I mean, he come over. I had so much snow built up around my mailbox.
It's from New Jersey, though.
I'm sorry. And he actually came over. I said, and he was plowing all day. And I said, Joe, I can't get to my mailbox for like a week and a half. He was there in 10 minutes. I went into work, and he was there. My wife called me and said, Joe's out front clearing the area for you. I couldn't ask for a better neighbor. I couldn't ask for a better person. I'm short and sweet.
I saw it, and it's very neat and clean.
Could you spell your last name?
But my concern is that
another
person can have this conditional use, and maybe they won't keep it that way. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah. I don't see.
He's a great guy, I'm sure.
I don't see him going anywhere, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And his property is definitely, I would have never bought there, believe me.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, I noticed some other hands. Next person, please.
I'm Roy Perdue, that Mr. Mochi referred to several times in his presentation. I live at 22 Amberwood Way, Chapel Green. On the site plan, my lot is actually 54A, which is directly across from Mr. Mochi's driveway. If we were to come directly across Will King Road,
so you'd
come
house.
Into my property. When I bought that property, before I bought it in early 2008, I was concerned about the traffic on Will King, as well as what kind of traffic might go in and out of the business. So I came to the property on 3 different occasions. One was very early morning to see Mr. Mochi come and go. I was pleasantly surprised to find out that he basically crawls in and out of his property because, as he said, there is a gate which he has to open, then come on the other side and close it. And, of course, you have to turn either a sharp left or a sharp right to go onto Will King Road, so there is no way that he can zoom out of his property. I did check that out, and I found that the zooming on Will King Road is far worse than what Mr. Mochi comes and goes in his equipment. I have never found Mr. Mochi to be disruptive at any time of the day or night. I can think, with all due respect for other people in my community, I can think of other kinds of businesses and establishments that would be far more disruptive across the street from me. So I would respectfully request that council consider granting Mr. Mochi's request for conditional use for his property. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next person.
But Lawrence, he can have the business under.
My name is Lewis Means. I've met Joe, 8 years ago when he did some work for my house on my property. And the reason I came was because I saw the article in the Cape Gazette. I'm going, this isn't a guy I know. I mean, when I met him, I couldn't get 8 years ago to do some driveway work on a property. I've got 26 acres outside of Georgetown. I couldn't get the big wheels to come out and look at it. They were too busy. Looked up in the phone book, got Joe. Perfect. When a man tells you something, you can take it to the bank. I'm not going to go on like Joe because I'm not a lawyer. Okay. But anyway, that's the reason I came, just because what he says, he means. So, sir, thank you very much. Oh, you want my address?
Yeah, your address. What's your last name?
20 Lewis Means, M-E-A-N-S.
M-E-A-N-S.
Mean with an S on it. I'm at 23773 Bluebird Lane, Georgetown, Delaware.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
How
you.
Many more wanted to speak in favor of the application? Okay, why don't you come down, and the others that want to speak, won't you come in these two benches so we can move quickly from one to the other, please?
I'm Diane Del Duco, Richard's wife that was up here a few minutes ago. Our property is 2 Arrowwood Knobs. If you look on the plot plan, it's 53A. I believe the length of our property is approximately 180 feet. I didn't measure it, but I'm assuming the measurements are correct on the paper. Our property runs half of the length of his property. We have a 2-story home. We have an outside 4-season or 3-season room. So we're constantly on our porch, in our backyard, and we do have a 2-story home, and we sleep with our windows open in the nice weather. I can honestly say, because I am an honest person, and anybody that knows me, especially my neighbors here, know I'm very honest, I have never heard any noise from him. His dog does, yes, occasionally bark, but mine does too. Other than that, his trucks come and go pretty much from 7, 8 o'clock till 5, 6 o'clock at night. And like I said, we live on our porch. That was the best thing we ever did with our house. So I can say he's a quiet man. His kids have always been respectful, not like some of the other children that we've had as other neighbors in other communities we've lived. His wife's an angel. So again, I request for him that he gets his approval, because I see him as a good part of our neighborhood, part of Sussex County. He's helped us in snow and in urgent things. He's taken down trees. He's been willing to do anything for anybody. And that's what we all need, good neighbors, good people. We have enough bad people in this world. I work for Beebe Hospital. I see a lot of bad things there. And we need more people to be up front and willing to step up to the plate. And a lot of people are not.
Thank you.
We all have a tendency to complain, but we always forget when people do things good. It seems that's the first thing we do, is shake somebody's tree when somebody does one thing bad. But we always forget to commend people when they do things good. And again, I hope you approve his request.
You live across the street or behind?
Yes.
Across.
I see his property from my backyard.
Okay.
So like I said, it's about 180 feet.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, one thing as you're speaking, we're discussing the land use application. There's not a question about how nice a gentleman the applicant is. So if you could confine your remarks to the land use itself.
My name is Tom Yangle, 33058 Nassau Loop. I'm located in Lewis. I have a landscaping company and a branch off company, Sediment Erosion Management. We do a lot of erosion control with contractors that Joe deals with, and I'm here just because of the article of the Cape Gazette that was inconsistent with the hours. We're on site from between 8 and 8:30, and I think we beat Joe on site every time. He's usually there 8:30, 9 o'clock, and out of there by 4 o'clock. So thank you.
Thank you.
Can I get your last name, please?
Engel, E-N-G-E-L.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next person, please.
John Edwards. I live on Wilking Road, 20407 Wilking Road. I work in Georgetown. I ride by Joe's house every morning between 6 and 6:30. I've never seen Joe at his shop that early. And I saw the same thing Cape Gazette, and a lot of it wasn't true. And I just wanted to come and speak and say the hours that they were saying, 3 in the morning, loud parties, motorcycles, all that stuff. I've never seen any of it, and I've lived on Wilking Road 36 years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next person.
Scotty Edwards, 31544 Dutton Lane, which is on Wilking Road. I lived there for almost 40 years, and me and my brother work together. We ride by there every day, and he's never there in the morning. We go by between 6 and 7 every morning, and it's a gate. You know, he has his gate closed, and, I mean, you got to look to see the place because it's in the woods, you know, and it's neat. I've been in his shop. His shop is beautiful inside. His whole yard's beautiful. There's not a stone out of place, and I think you should grant him the application, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next person.
Mark Riley, 22429 John J. Williams Highway. I came up here also because I saw the article in the Cape Gazette, and I just thought it was written about somebody else because, you know, I know every aspect of that article. It just wasn't true. And if you're driving down Wilking Road, you got to know exactly where his shop is or else you'll go right by it. You can't. It's not visible. He's not Superman. He is one person. He has trucks and equipment. He runs everything himself. Hours of operation are the same. I have done emergency snow removal with him, so I know how that operates also. So that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next person.
Yes, my name's David Cohn, masonry contractor. I live on 31362 Kendale Road in Lewis, and I'm here to represent Mr. Mutchie. The yard is impeccable. It's very neat. Like Mr. Mutchie said, there's very little truck traffic during the day or any time. There's no loud music like he was accused of. I take care of his dog on occasions when he goes out of town and the dog doesn't bark. The yard is very clean. Everything is neat, and I believe you ought to grant Mr. Mutchie his conditional use permit. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person, please.
My name is Ted Dabbs, D-A-B-B-S. I live at 31495 North Conley Circle. I live in Conley Chapel Village, which is the development on the other side of Joe's house. So I'm close enough to hear any traffic, dogs barking, anything like that, parties. And I can be honest, I've never heard any of that. Lived there with my wife and kids for the past 4.5 years. I do know Joe. I've worked with him. I've worked for him on some of his projects. One of the things that impressed me on working on his house was he had a big sign on the door. When any contractor that worked in his house, we had to take our shoes off, make sure all of our stuff was put away and cleaned up, and put, you know, in a clean manner, organized manner when we worked on his job. And I think that talks about the nature of how he keeps his property. I don't need to go on about that. I think he's proved that already. I think the conditional use, I know you brought that point up. I mean, it's hard to tell what's going to happen in the future. And I think what's happened already is that Joe's already proved himself to be a businessman who takes care of his property, maintains his vehicles, and operates in a professional manner. And I think to take that away from him and to take his ability or even his future ability to do that away would be completely wrong based on some complaints of some people who it seems to be more of a personal vendetta or something against him. I know you said keep to the point about the conditional use of the property, mm-hmm. but really today's hearing is more about him. And it seems like it's about, really, you know, trying to prevent him from doing something. And he does so in a professional manner, and I just want to let you know that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Next.
Save the best for last.
My name is Marie DeSpoto, 14 Gander Lane, Lewis, Delaware. Just here as a character witness, the same thing. I've known Joe for 22 years. His wife and I were college roommates. He's a very nice man. He's extremely respectful, meticulous to the point of almost anal. He's just really, you know, he likes things the way they are. His stuff is always immaculate. You know, you can't wear your shoes in the house. And if you buy carpeting, it lasts 7 years. He wants it to last 15. It's going to look as good as the day you put it in. I mean, he's just really, as far as his business, and I would think as far as his future plans for business, I can only imagine that this would only just get better. He's more of a private man. I can't imagine him taking down any of the trees or the buffers. I'm sure he does not want to see the back of the neighbor's house, just as sure as I am sure they do not want to look at his property, as beautiful as it is. I was upset that the people were complaining because all they have to do is really just look from the street. You can see how nice it is. I'm just here to ask you to approve his application. And thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can I get your last name, please?
Oh, Dispoto, Dispoto.
All right, thank you.
Okay, seeing no others that want to speak on behalf of the application, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to the application?
Joe's good guy.
Okay, if you'll come up one at a time, please, and why don't you get in the front seats like we had before?
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Victoria Gillingham. I live at 18 Amberwood Way. The back of my house is approximately 75 to 80 feet away, directly across from Mr. Amati's building and or parking lot in front of it. A lot of what he said today is a bit contradictory compared to what was said at the planning and zoning. If he has permission from the county from years ago to have a business function there, why is he now submitting for a permit for conditional use?
Can I answer that?
Yes, please.
He doesn't live on the premise.
He did until 2 years ago.
When he got his original approval, he lived there.
Okay.
He said he lives there now.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
He doesn't live there, so he can't have a home occupation unless you live there.
But he led you to believe he is now currently living at that residence.
I'm just saying what we heard at the commission level. Yeah.
He stayed
he doesn't live there.
Yeah, he does not live there. As far as the dump trucks clapping, like before 6 o'clock in the morning, I've heard it many, many times. He has diesel trucks. They do rumble. They are loud before 6 o'clock in the morning. He does have a dog that does bark a lot. And when you're only 80 feet away in the middle of the night, that sounds very, very loud. Apparently, he has been, according to what he submitted in his application, that the present use right now is just for parking, storage, and maintenance of equipment. He's operating a business out of there, has been for the last 12 years. He agreed and admitted that on the planning and zoning meeting that we had. And he's says that it's just a dwelling with accessories. It's a business. Parking, storage, and maintenance of equipment with an office is what he would like to have conditional use for. What about running that business out of his office? I mean, there will be phone calls made, perhaps visitors, people coming in to get in bids. Well, I guess they all think it's funny. I didn't laugh at their turn. So I do have several questions. It seems as if that perhaps he has been running this business for 12 years without perhaps the proper permits. What happens as far as perhaps back taxes because it's considered a commercial business and not a residential home? Isn't the tax structure different for that? As far as the noise and partying, there have been occasion when his subcontractors have come onto the property, I'm assuming after a long day's work, you could hear the music that's loud. You could hear them MFing here and MFing there in the backyard. And I'm not, no one said this happens every day, but it happens on occasion. There has been an occasion where he has bought, well, a couple occasions, he has actually bought debris from apparently a work site and lit a bonfire or two, and the flames went up to 25 feet high. When my husband went to investigate to see if there was a problem, if anybody needed help, anybody needed rescuing, he was told to get the hell off of his property. This is his land. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Leave him the hell alone. So I understand that there are a lot of people, apparently, that do like him. Apparently, because at times he is unapproachable and does not give the rest of the people a chance to perhaps be able to come up and question and talk about the noises that comes from here, to talk like I would with my next-door neighbor, but he's not approachable. His motto seems to be, when it comes to a lot of us, it's my property, no matter who says what, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. The other thing that I would like to keep you in mind, you have denied businesses near the neighborhood I lived because of features that could be unattractive to my neighborhood and other neighborhoods. If you give him the okay and give him for conditional use, what kind of Pandora's box will this open? Will these people be coming to you to get you to overturn your decisions and make a lot more business and commercial areas in an area that is mostly residential? So I would request that you deny him the conditional use, and if by chance you need to give him that conditional use, put a lot of restrictions so the rest of us can live in peace. And where can we locate somebody if you put the conditions on him and he wakes me up before 6 o'clock in the morning? Who do I call?
Mr. Cole.
Yes. Okay, I'll call Mr. Cole then. Right. But as far as his complaints,
my line will be busy. I'll probably be talking to the applicant. And you know how he talks.
Yeah, well, I do have to tell you, though, a year and a half after I moved in, I did call Pete Schwarzkopf's office to complain about the noise.
That was before he filed for the conditional use?
For this conditional use.
After
yes.
he filed for the conditional use or before?
I've been in my house for 9 years.
But you were complaining before he filed for this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Schwarzkopf. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whether or not he noted that anywhere in the file, I have no idea. And I was told by him that it was private property and he could more or less do what he wanted when he wanted, when he was still operating his business then. So thank you for listening.
Thank you. Next person, please.
I'm her husband. Okay. Well. My name's William Gillingham. I live at 18 Everwood Way, okay? The biggest problem, it seems like, that we have with Mr. Machi, he seems to be a really nice guy, according to him and his friends, and that's fine with me, okay? But I've had personal confrontation with him, okay? He actually came into my driveway with his truck, practically, right on the edge of the driveway, and confronted me about a project that is right next to his property on the other side, asking me, who in the hell do I think I am fighting his thing there? And I told him, I said, I'm not fighting your thing there. I said, what I'm fighting is where the entrance is going to be, and Del Dots told you where the entrance is going to be. I said, because it's only an accident waiting. This is the kind of confrontations we've had with him, and if he'd only stop and listen to people. I'm not trying to stop his business, okay? I really ain't. I would just like the business of the slamming of the dump truck door, okay? All he has to do is when he comes back at 4:30 or 5:30 or whenever he comes back, at the end of the day, slam it then. I understand why he's doing it. You don't want any stones hitting people's windshields on their cars. That's perfectly fine. Just don't do it. He says he don't get there around 6. Well, I was in business myself, okay? I mean, you always tend to get there a little bit early, so my wife and I, we get woken up by it on occasion. And I don't think it's necessary. I mean, do it in the afternoon. That's only common respect for your neighbors. That's the only thing I'm trying to do here. And I appreciate you listening to me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next person, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Robert Frost, F-R-O-S-T.
I live at 4 Ancient Oak Chapel Green, which is not within 300 feet of this operation. But I was a past president of Chapel Green. Less than 2 years ago, residents, I believe it was less than 2 years ago, getting old, residents of Chapel Green and surrounding communities also appeared before this council to protest the request from Mr. Hazard for a zoning variance. This also was on Wilking Road, less than 1/2 mile from J.R. Mucci operation. In that instance, fortunately, the council denied the request by a 3-2 vote. Now we are here again with another request, this time by Mr. Mucci. Now, most of us would agree that Mr. Mucci's operation is not overwhelming and it is not unattractive. When Mr. Mucci appeared before planning and zoning, he admitted he operated illegally for the past 12 years. In fairness, his true operation today, which he showed you with that picture in the Cape Gazette, and it was a beautiful picture, but that's closer to 6 years old, not 12 years old. The Cape Gazette reported that Mr. Mucci was in business before Chapel Green was started, and that must be where Mr. Mucci got the idea that he was in business before Chapel Green started. Not true. He may have been in business in other locations, but not on Wilking Road before Chapel Green started. Development of Chapel Green started in 1991, which I'm sure Mr. Lank would be able to verify. First two houses were completed in 1992. Rapid construction began in 1996. I bought the former model home, which was built in 1996. Community was basically complete by 2004. It now has around 200 homes, one of the best communities in the area. Using Mr. Mucci's figure of 12 years shows Chapel Green was well underway when he started operating on Wilking Road, and his initial exposure was much more limited in scope. What I object to and what the council must prevent is a precedence. One can easily see the future if the council were to approve this variance. Very shortly, Mr. Hazard would file suit in Superior Court stating that he was discriminated against. And as past history would show, the court could rule in his favor. I think this just happened in Dewey Beach. But if they did, that would put two businesses on Wilking and open the door for more. Additionally, if you check the yellow pages under excavating contractors, there are 19 companies, including Mr. Mucci's. If a variance is approved, what would be the legal position of these other 18 companies? Obviously, operating in a residential community must provide some lower costs versus purchasing landmark business, insurance costs, etc. Or would these companies merely look for some residential lots and put out their own satellite lots, yards? Probably take the county over 12 years to find them. Lastly, there are probably close to 1,000 home sites that have been approved by this council and ones before it during the past 14 years within 2 miles of Mr. Mucci's operation. If people purchase a home site in a general residential use area, aren't they entering a contract with the county that it will remain general residential without variances? If their home values fall, can they sue the council? Does the council have any obligation to the residents? The only acceptable decision in this matter is complete denial. He builds a beautiful landscape excavating company facility, but there are plenty of places throughout the county that are zoned business, and that's where they belong. Any other decision is a breach of faith between this council and the residents of this county. Thank you.
Next person, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Ann Conlon. I live at 103 Alderleaf Court in Lewis. I'm a Chapel Green homeowner. I'm also a member of the Chapel Green Board of Directors. I'm here to share some concerns and some questions I have regarding this conditional use application. My first concern is the recommendation our Planning and Zoning Commissioners made last Thursday night. They recommended approving this application. I disagree with their recommendation for the following reasons. First, approving a conditional use for this site requires that Mr. Machi's business be, quote, generally of a public or semi-public character, unquote, and that it be, quote, essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare, unquote. Question, what percentage of Mr. Machi's business is of a public or semi-public character? Question, exactly how much of Mr. Machi's business can be labeled essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare? My second reason for disagreeing with the Planning and Zoning Commissioner's recommendation is the DLDOT traffic report included in the applicant's package. You'll find a copy of it in our packet marked Exhibit 6, and I assume you've all received a copy of our list of exhibits, opposition to CU 1904. Were they passed out, Mr. Lank? Mm-hmm. Were they passed out?
Passed out right now.
Going right now.
Waiting on opposition.
Sure.
Exhibit 6. The DLDOT traffic report is dated May 31st, 2011. Has a subsequent DLDOT report been received by the County Council since then?
No.
If you look then at this DLDOT report dated May 31st, you'll see the following mentioned in Part 1, Sections A1 and A2, and I quote, assumes development as 18 residential condominium townhouse, unquote, to be built on the site. Curiously absent from this DLDOT report is any mention of heavy trucking. Heavy trucking is not mentioned. Heavy trucking is the activity that Mr. Machi is engaged in. Heavy trucking is what this conditional use request is all about. Yet, heavy trucking is not mentioned in this DLDOT report. This DLDOT report is deficient. It does not mention large trucks, dump trucks, or heavy equipment. This DLDOT report is insufficient as well because it says nothing about the possible need for a turning lane, acceleration lane, or deceleration lane to accommodate large lumbering trucks towing long trailers with excavation equipment on them. These trucks and trailers can be seen on Exhibit 5. It's a Google Earth image dated July 3rd, 2010. As you look at Exhibit 5, you'll notice a large, dark-roofed building to the right of center. There's a truck in the driveway alongside that building with a trailer hooked behind it. How long is that truck and trailer combo? Well, according to the surveyor who drew the map on Exhibit 3, that building is 70 feet, 1 inch long. If you visually move that truck and trailer up alongside the building and compare lengths,
it would appear the truck and trailer combo are around 60 feet long. Now, entering and exiting this site with a slow-moving 60-foot truck and trailer must be difficult because the paved portion of roadway shown on the left probably is not more than 25 feet wide. A turning lane, an acceleration lane, a deceleration lane, these are important safety features that should be considered before approving this application. My third concern involves Sussex County's comprehensive land use plan and its advice regarding auto repair facilities in low-density areas. Sussex County's comprehensive land use plan frowns upon intense auto-related uses in low-density areas. The site location map, Exhibit 1. States that this site is in a low-density area. Exhibit 1 also illustrates the fact that this site is located in a general residential zone surrounded by general residential properties as well as by residential properties zoned AR1 and AR2. The applicant's stated purpose, maintaining large trucks and heavy earth moving equipment, is synonymous with auto repair. Therefore, a site like this one, located in a low-density area, surrounded by residential development, is, according to your own Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan, a place where, quote, more intense commercial uses, such as auto repair, should be avoided. The land use plan also states that, quote, the primary uses envisioned in low-density areas are agricultural activities and single-family detached homes. This commercial enterprise is at odds with that land use plan. Sussex County's comprehensive land use plan goes on to say business development in low density areas should be confined to businesses addressing the needs of agricultural activities and single family detached homes. Once again, this commercial enterprise is at odds with the land use plan. Finally, Sussex County's comprehensive land use plan states that, quote, the focus of retail and office uses in low density areas should provide convenience goods and services to nearby residents, unquote. Again, this commercial enterprise is at odds with the land use plan. My fourth concern involves questions I have about the conditional use that's being requested. First, would this conditional use, if granted, apply to the entire site, all 4.28 acres? Second, and I refer to Exhibit 3. Exhibit 3 illustrates that portion of the site currently used for Mr. Machi's business. It's the portion shown north of the site's northernmost stone driveway. Okay. Here's Mr. Machi's site over here bordering Wilking Road. It zips in over here to South Acorn Way, comes down along the back, and across here. The driveway I'm talking about is about halfway up. It says stone driveway trees, and above it, stone driveway. I'm talking about the northernmost one above the tree line, right there. Okay. Question, if a conditional use is granted, could the conditional use be restricted to half of this site, the half north of the northernmost stone driveway, where his commercial business is currently located? Third, if a conditional use is granted, could the remaining half of the site, this lower half, the half south of the northernmost driveway, keep its current designation as general residential, homestead, and farm? If the property is ever sold, would its conditional use automatically transfer to the new property owner? In conclusion, I ask you, the members of the Sussex County Council, to deny this conditional use request for these four reasons. First, the use is inconsistent with general residential zoning. Second, the use is not desirable, nor is it essential for the general convenience and welfare. Third, the DLDOT report that was submitted is deficient. It does not contemplate the commercial activity of a heavy trucking storage facility along Wilking Road. Fourth, the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan frowns upon intense auto-related uses in low-density areas. I ask you to seriously consider the points I've raised when you deliberate today on this application. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Next person, please.
Could I ask a question?
Sure.
Do you you keep referencing this auto repair? Do you have any justification at all? Any pictures of him working on somebody's car back there, or
the No. When I say auto repair, I'm talking about the maintenance of truck engines or heavy equipment.
Right. But you kept referencing auto repair, like car.
To me, they're synonymous.
So you have no besides what he does for his own stuff.
Pardon me?
Except what he does on his own equipment. You have no record of him doing anything for anybody
All
else.
I know is that the application states parking, storage, and maintenance of equipment. And I'm assuming that maintenance of equipment is similar to what I would classify as auto repair. It's vehicular repairs.
Thank you.
Next person, please.
My name's Tony Cellini. I live at 16 Amberwood Way, and I want to thank the council for being so patient. I won't be as factual as everybody else. I want to pull on some heartstrings for a minute. Mr. Mucci says that he runs a clean business. It is a very clean business. I can look out my porch and see his business. Everybody refers to the buffer of trees up there. We're talking about 6 months out of the year when it's summertime. When it's wintertime, those trees are barren. I can see everything that goes on. My wife has sat out on the porch and heard foul language. We've heard music. We've heard motorcycles. We've heard dogs barking. We do hear trucks going up and pulling in and out at 5 and 6 in the morning. He has stated that he needs a 6 a.m. buffer instead of 7 a.m., whereas his coworkers have said that he doesn't arrive until 8 or 8:30. So there's differences there. I moved to that area. I'm from a city in Baltimore that I was used to a lot of noises. And when I moved here 8 years ago, it freaked me out that it was so quiet. being so quiet, I can hear everything that happens. I can hear the truck riding on the gravel. That's how quiet it is. I can hear the dogs. I hear everything that goes on. I'm worried about my property value devaluing because there's a commercial business. Who will want to buy my house and see and hear everything that goes on? I moved here to get away from everything. He doesn't need that property to do his business. He can put it somewhere else. Thank you.
I just have to ask a question.
Sure.
He's been there for 12 years doing this.
Yes, sir.
You bought a house 8 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Why'd you buy a house with it across the street or whatever?
At the time, I did not know that there was a business there.
Can't see it in summertime.
In the summertime, you cannot see it.
Okay. Thank you.
He does run a clean business. It is very well prepped, but in the wintertime, it is very visible because the trees are very barren. And the noise echoes in that corridor is incredible.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next person, please.
Yes, my name is Jay Robert Woods. I live at 15 Amberwood Way, Chapel Green. I'm not quite sure if I know exactly where to start here today because a lot of this discussion on this application seems to be centered on what we are concerned about, future commercial encroachment in our area. And somebody referenced the hazard application that was here before you, I think, within the last year and a half. And I would say that I stated at the P&Z committee meeting hearing, I don't hear the noise. I'm on the opposite side of Mr. Gillingham and Mrs. Gillingham. I've heard them complain to me about the noises that they, you know, hear occasionally. And I guess what their answer would be is we all thought that the business was zoned commercial. That's why people had no concerns about what was there. Some heard noise, but some felt, well, that's part of what that is because it's zoned commercial. I think the confusion, a lot of the confusion here is we heard today, which we didn't hear previously, that there was a letter granted from Sussex County that in 1998 gave Mr. Machi the ability to go ahead and do what he was doing. Now, what was that letter? Was that a conditional use letter? I mean, I don't quite understand what would that letter have allowed him to do at that point in time of a commercial nature that wouldn't have required some kind of a conditional use then. Why now? That's, I think, what drove the community in saying, well, what is happening here? When we were researching, if you will, the previous application that the neighbors had concerned about an auto repair facility, we went to the land use department. Mr. Lang was gracious with us. We went over some maps. And we discovered at that time that there's a multitude of businesses up and down Wilking Road. But there are only two that had commercial zoning, the radio station and a fellow that used to do some kind of boot top installation or repair. There's a multitude of things up and down Wilking apparently then that are not zoning, which I suppose it'll take a complaint to get some action, and perhaps they'll be in here looking for conditional zonings and say they've been here since Hector was a pup. So I don't think anybody's, Mr. Machi, I could have been on the other side of this room, I suppose, I wouldn't even know Mr. Machi until he walked in the P&Z hearing. I wouldn't even know what he looked like. And I've heard this, I've heard that. My only concern is when I found out he no longer lives on that property, I would suspect the guy would keep a property very nice because he lives there, the same as I would expect from everybody else. My concern is apparently he doesn't live there anymore. I'll say apparently. I think that's what we've heard. And what happens now that he does not live there? Does things get exacerbated worse? And what recourse do we have? So, and Mr. Cole knows me in my previous life. I served 15 years on Newcastle County Council. I resigned, retired down here to come to the great environs of Sussex County, and I love every bit of it.
When I retire, I'm moving to Newcastle County.
I doubt that you will. I doubt that you will. But in any event, you know, I didn't want to get involved in any of this. I don't relish it. That's why I kind of got out of it. But I only want to say that, yeah, the only concern is the application is granted, and to listen to Mr. Machi's words today, he said he wants to advance and grow his business. I think I heard that said. Well, that concerns us. Is it going to advance and grow? Is it going to outgrow a conditional use? Or, you know, that's the concern. Does the noise get worse? Does the growth get larger? And that pretty much sums it up, I guess. So, you know, other than that, I think Mr. Machi is a wonderful fellow. I have no question in my mind, you know. If there's been altercations between others, you know, you got to be there to see who shot John. So I'm not going to try to make a judgment on that. But but that's our concern. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, is it going to outgrow the property? Is the noise going to acerbate to the point where, you know, now he'll even have arguably more legitimate reasons for doing that?
Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Now, I believe that we've heard everyone, and at this point, we can close the public hearing, Mr. President.
Okay. We will close the public hearing, close public record. Any questions of counsel?
Thank you, Mr. Lane.
Sir. Mr. Phillips.
Says Machi's house.
Hmm?
And this is the applicant's house on this picture.
But he doesn't live there. Is that right?
That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
I can't answer the question. You have to ask that of the applicant.
Well, he doesn't need to, and you know, as far as any conditions, so doesn't really matter as far as they're concerned, right?
No. Well, I stated earlier was that he supposedly does not live there, so that's why he had to apply for a conditional use. You can't have a home occupation unless you live on
the
premises.
That's the whole
reason. So if he still lived there, it would still be under his previous letter of home occupation.
Doesn't have
right.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as he doesn't have any employees.
Employees. Uh-huh.
Right. So where it's just
he did
himself.
Reference that his son sometimes worked for him and his really? Father sometimes mm-hmm. drives a truck, so therefore he's got an employee, whether it's related or not. Unless he lives there, it's not a home occupation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Does his son or his father live in this house? I'm trying to understand why he would submit evidence that would maybe have such an inaccuracy contained.
I have to ask him.
May I ask him?
Is there any objection from counsel, that being asked?
Make sure you don't let him get off on another
depends
topic.
On how long
he's keep
it focused. Yeah.
Sir,
a simple question.
Sir, focused. We have a question, and it's a yes or no answer.
Yes or no.
Do you live in that house?
Yes, sir.
You do?
I have two houses. I have one in Wolf Run. I have a house. I have actually 11 houses. Okay? I have that house, which is my house. It's considered like a summer house. If I have family that comes down, they'll stay at it. If I'm in my shop late doing paperwork or something like that, as my neighbors can testify to, I will reside in that
where's
house.
Where is your domicile?
I'm sorry?
Your domicile. Where do you live?
Will King Road, 20772. That's where my mail goes to. In my name. Tax bill is in my name. And I stay in another house in Wolf Run, which they had pictures of. There's
what's
no
on
law
your
against
what's
a
on
man
your driver's
having,
license?
Excuse me?
What's on your driver's license?
I think I changed it over to Wolf
okay.
Run.
Okay.
Okay. But I have several residences.
That's all we need to know.
So that would disqualify him
for
because
the home
it's not his principal.
His principal residence per DMV, I guess, would be the way you
his
determine.
Principal residence would be in Wolf Run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. We got that resolved.
Okay. Well, he's not, you know, I was concerned that there was fraudulent evidence, and there's not. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
I need to look at more at this a little bit more. I'm not ready to vote.
Make a motion, we defer.
Second.
I have a motion, a second to defer. Any question on the motion? Now we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We will defer.
Okay, thank you much. The